Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. Our theme this time is cultivating spiritual sight, releasing the pain patterns, and expanding into love. And our topic today is following divine guidance. And we have the wonderful Gary Renard as our teacher today. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And I'm going to say a prayer and pray us in. And then during the talk, I would like to bring people's attention to your books and some in your audios, because I personally have found them extremely valuable. And I so deeply appreciate your teachings and your life, your precious life. You have been such a teacher to me as well as a friend, and really grateful that you're able to join us today and speak on this topic. So let's all take a breath together again and join together with the Holy Spirit to really partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self for the purpose of our remembering our true nature and our true identity, that we're already as holy can be. We can't be any more perfect than we already are. And we're joining together for the purpose of remembering this truth about ourselves and about each other. So grateful to consciously allow the Holy Spirit to be our guide. We are willing to truly listen to divine guidance, to hear it, to perceive it, to feel it, to know it, to see it, to experience it, and let it be our guide. We are grateful to come together for this holy purpose. And quite naturally, we share the benefits of our healing, our expansion and awakening with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we simply allow it to be, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. And you know, Gary, the first question that comes to me, it actually kind of surprises me, but do you recollect when you first began to really have a sense of divine guidance and intuition?
Yeah, I think it was when I first got on a spiritual path, back about 1978. And the reason I go back that far is because I think that everybody is guided by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's like A Course in Miracles says, all are called, but few choose to listen. Mm-hmm. So a major part of it is being able to listen. Now, at that time, I was so depressed that I didn't think of the Holy Spirit. I didn't think in terms of the Holy Spirit. But looking back on it, I can see that the Holy Spirit was always helping me and always guiding me. And I think that's true of everybody, whether they realize it or not. They just may not be aware of it. And I was, you know, practically dead at that time. And I felt myself kind of like guided or impelled to do this thing called the EST training. Mm. And, you know, I had a friend. I had probably one friend left. And he was urging me to do this thing called the Yes Training. Now, I didn't want to do it, but I felt kind of like being kind of like nudged in that direction. I think the Holy Spirit kind of like nudges everybody in the right direction. And if they go along with that intuition, then it will lead them to places where they're more prepared to listen. So that began like a 15-year spiritual path for me, a spiritual quest. And 15 years after that, I was able to, you know, have the conversations with my teachers that are described in The Disappearance of the Universe. And that book really takes place over a period of 9 years. And it took me 10 years to do it. And, you know, during all that time, I felt more and more in touch with the Holy Spirit. And I felt guided to do the book. And at that time, you know, and people forget about this because they'll say, oh, you just wrote that book because you wanted to be famous or you wanted to make money or something like that. And what they don't realize is that during that whole 10 years from the time that the book was started to the time that it was finished, I had absolutely no guarantee that anybody would ever read it. You know, so I didn't know what the future was, but somehow I felt that it was important and that people would read it. And for those people who have read any of my books, they know that the teachers in the book are Arden and Persa, but I think what some of them don't realize is what Arden and Persa really are. And what they really are is the Holy Spirit appearing as Arden and Persa. You know, they're not actually Arden and Persa. They're images that are being projected by the Holy Spirit. There are several places in A Course in Miracles that explains this. And one of them is actually quoted right at the beginning of The Disappearance of the Universe. It says, there are those who have reached God directly, retaining no trace of worldly limits, and remembering their own identity perfectly. These might be called the teachers of teachers because, although they are no longer visible, their image can yet be called upon. And they will appear when and where it is helpful for them to do so. So Arden and Persa are kind of like out of here. You know, they're ascended masters. And once you're enlightened and you go home to God, you don't ever come back. However, your image can yet be called upon. And the Holy Spirit will use that image in order to communicate with people. And that communication will take place in whatever way is best for them. For most of us, the Holy Spirit is going to show up in the form of ideas. You know, the Course also says about the Holy Spirit, His is the voice for God and is therefore taken form. This form is not His reality. So the Holy Spirit literally has to take on some kind of a form in order to communicate with us. If it didn't, then we'd never be able to hear it. And we'd be stuck here forever. And for most of us, that form of the Holy Spirit's voice is going to come into our mind in the form of idea or intuition. And it'll kind of like be pointing you in the right direction. And there are other cases that are not as common. You know, for example, the Holy Spirit will appear as an angel, if that's what is the most helpful for some people, because they can accept that without fear. For some people, the Holy Spirit could appear as the Virgin Mary. And people will say, well, that's the Virgin Mary. But if you pay close attention to the Course in Miracles, you'll see that what that actually is the Holy Spirit appearing as the Virgin Mary, because there are so many people who can accept that and understand that without fear. And yes, for a few other people, the Holy Spirit will appear as an ascended master. For example, and I didn't know this until after Disappearance when people started sending me all this material, but the Ascended Master, Saint Germain, has been appearing at Mount Shasta for decades. Mm-hmm. You know, people have been seeing him there for decades. So it's not unheard of, especially in more mystical places like India, but, you know, really all over the world. It's not unusual for the Holy Spirit to take on a form, and it's going to be whatever is the most helpful for certain people, and it may not be the same for everybody. And at first, people will think the image that they're seeing is real. But what it really is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And that symbol can appear just as real and feel just as real as anything else. But the key thing to remember is that it's actually the Holy Spirit. And this kind of like, you know, brings up the subject of guidance, because the more that you undo the ego, which is, of course, the false you in the mind, and that's done through forgiveness, the more that you do that, the clearer the messages of the Holy Spirit will get for you. That's why I emphasize forgiveness so much, because that's the fastest way that people can kind of like undo the clutter that's in their mind, that, you know, unconscious guilt that they can't even see and that the world doesn't even know about, but it's there. And forgiveness undoes that. You know, like the Course says, salvation is undoing. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit's messages become more and more clear to you because you have more spirit in your mind. You don't have to do anything about the spirit part. You know, the spirit part of you is already perfect. You know, it's already exactly the same as God. All that we need to do is undo, you know, undo the ego. And then the Holy Spirit's voice is going to get clearer and clearer as you go along. You'll gain more confidence in it. You'll have discernment. You'll know that what the Holy Spirit's messages sound like compared to the ego's messages. And, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, you know, the message is about love and forgiveness and, you know, it gives you, you know, peace and happiness. That's the Holy Spirit. And if the message is not love and forgiveness, well, then that's the ego. You know, I just want to use one example. Like, let's say you're reading the Bible and you're reading the Old Testament, the Book of Psalms, and it says something beautiful, like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, that's the Holy Spirit, clearly. And I think it's interesting that people have that right at their funerals, because it's not about death. You know, it's about a fearless way of living. And I think that's obviously the Holy Spirit. But then if you went back to the book of Leviticus, and it says that all wizards, adulterers, mediums, and homosexuals should be put to death, well, the odds are that's not the Holy Spirit. You know, that's clearly the ego. And, you know, I think that after a while, you don't need to have it explained to you. You just recognize for yourself what is coming from a place of love and forgiveness and fearlessness, and what is coming from the place of fear and judgment and guilt and all that. And it becomes clearer and clearer as you go along. You know, if you look through A Course in Miracles, all you see is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. And yes, Jesus, which is really the Holy Spirit speaking as Jesus in A Course in Miracles, because he's out of here too. You know, right. I hate to break it to the Christians, but he ain't coming back. And, you know, it's like he's explaining the entire Holy Spirit thought system, but he also explains the entire ego thought system. Because the more you know about both of them, the clearer the choice becomes, the easier it becomes to make that choice. And the Course is really about making choices and how you choose to see people. So I mentioned forgiveness. Well, that undoes the ego. That allows you to hear the Holy Spirit's voice more clearly. And as you do that, a part of forgiveness is another thing that we wanted to talk about today, which is spiritual sight. And I'm glad we're talking about this, because this involves a part of forgiveness that most Course students never do. You know, they are pretty good at monitoring their thoughts. And by the way, they should monitor their feelings also, because their feelings are a result of the thoughts that they've been having their whole lives. And they have to kind of like watch themselves and stop themselves from thinking with the ego. Notice it's the ego and stop it. And I think a lot of Course students do that. And they're good at that. And then there's the next step, which the Course would call the holy instant. And that's the instant when you switch to the Holy Spirit. So now you're choosing the right teacher. instead of the wrong teacher. It's like the Course says, resign now as your own teacher because you were poorly taught. You know, so you kind of like switch to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has a totally different story about what's going on. And a part of that is the fact that you're dreaming. And what you're seeing is not true. And you would not react at all to a dream that you knew that you were dreaming, and to images that you knew that you were dreaming. So it's kind of like you become aware of the fact that you're dreaming gradually with the Holy Spirit, and that this world is just a dream that we will awaken from. And it's that awakening that is enlightenment. And when you awaken, you're at home in God, and you realize that you never left, that you were there the whole time. Which is why the Course says that the full awareness of the atonement is that the separation never occurred. You know, it never happened. You never left heaven. You've been there the whole time. And you were having this dream. So I had a dream in bed last night. It was very real. You know, it seemed so real that I was actually surprised when I woke up that it wasn't real. And that's what this dream is like. When you wake up, you'll be surprised at first that it wasn't real because it seems so real. But the only reality is God. And by the way, that's talked about a lot in my next book, which will be out in November. I don't know if people have heard the title yet. Maybe some have, but it's called Lifetimes When Jesus and Buddha Knew Each Other. And the subtitle is A History of Mighty Companions. And it talks about these times that they actually knew each other and helped each other in maybe about six or seven lifetimes before they were Jesus and Buddha. And one of the things that's talked about a lot in the book is non-duality and the fact that, you know, what we're experiencing here is illusion, which is an old idea, but the Course, you know, refines that into the idea that it's a dream. And you see that in a lot of traditions. Not all the way through the tradition, but in parts of the tradition, like the Buddhists would call this impermanence. You know, it's not reality, and reality would be permanence. You know, so the Course would agree with that totally. It would say that reality is a constant, that it's something that doesn't change. It's always the same. So, you know, people looking for the truth, well, the truth is simple. The truth is God, and God is love. And it's also what the Course would refer to as spirit, but once again, it's all of it. And the truth was the truth 2,000 years ago. And the truth is still the truth today. And the truth will still be the truth 2,000 years from now. It doesn't shift or change, and it doesn't matter what you think of it. You know, the truth is not subject to our interpretation. Mm-hmm. The truth is the truth whether we understand and agree with it or not. You know, one point in the Course, Jesus says, you think that your understanding is an important contribution to the truth. And he's saying, well, actually, no, the truth is the truth, period. And what matters is whether or not you choose it, not just understand it, but actually choose it and choose to see it everywhere. So ultimately, the Course is very experiential. It looks very intellectual at first. You know, you get a 500,000 words and, you know, all this iambic pentameter and Freudian psychology and dark explanations of the ego, but always resolved by switching to the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, in the actual application, that's where your experience changes from one of being a body gradually to one of being spirit. But the best way to facilitate that is to see it everywhere, to see it in others. So at the end of the text, it says, choose once again what you would have him be, knowing that every choice you make will establish your own identity as you will see it and believe that it is. So that's where the third step in forgiveness comes in. This is what leads to spiritual sight, by thinking the way that the Holy Spirit thinks. And the Course says about the Holy Spirit, everywhere he looks, he sees himself. You know, the Holy Spirit thinks of everybody as not being a body, overlooking the body. And once again, I'm not saying that you won't have normal relationships with bodies. It's an attitude, you know, so you're having a normal conversation with someone, hopefully, because, you know, you meet spiritual people, but they're so damn spiritual, they don't know how to carry on a normal conversation. And you kind of like, you know, overlook the body, and you think of that person as not being a body, which is what the Course would say. What they really are images. And it says, the images you make cannot prevail against what God himself would have you be. So you kind of like learn to overlook the body and think of that person as being not part of it. And if it's just part of it, that's the ego, because the ego is based on separation. That person is actually all of it. And the Holy Spirit thinks in terms of oneness. So then you think of that person as being unlimited, beyond the universe of time and space, something that can't be contained by anything, and something that is exactly the same as God, totally innocent, totally worthy of being with God, and it has to apply to everybody, you know, even the people that you don't like. You know, when that politician comes on the TV screen, who I can't stand, and I won't mention any names, but when that person comes on the TV screen, I can think of that person as being a body. And, you know, they're having a dream that they're a body. Mm-hmm. But if I really want to have the experience that, you know, Jesus and Mary Magdalene and Buddha had, then I want to overlook the body and think of that person as being nothing less than God. You know, it's kind of like Art and Persa told me in the first book. They said, what if you treated everybody and thought of everybody that you met as being Jesus? I thought, well, you know, that's a pretty interesting question. Because if I met Jesus, I would think of him, you know, as being perfectly innocent and exactly the same as God. But you have to think that way about everybody, or else it's not going to work for you. It'll still be a partial thing. It has to be oneness. But there are a couple of things that will happen if you do that. As you see him, you will see yourself, is what the Course says. And that's a pretty important law of the mind.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a body, I'm a body. You know, if you're guilty, I'm guilty. But if you're innocent, I'm innocent. And if you're a perfect spirit, exactly the same as God, then that is how I will come to experience myself. So, you know, at first it looks like we're forgiving other people. But after a while, we realize we're the ones that are being forgiven. You know, so we're the ones that are being released. There's a great line just before the last section of the text. It asks you a pretty important question. You know, it says, can you, to whom God says, release my son, be tempted to not listen when you learn it is your own release for whom he asked? So part of the fundamental message of A Course in Miracles is that the way that you think about other people is going to determine how you feel about yourself. And not only that, but eventually it will even establish your own identity, whether you're a body or whether you're spirit. And, you know, even at the beginning of the text, it says that the miracle, you know, establishes spirit by denying bodily identification. And you see it all the way through the Course, but it's difficult to see because there's tremendous unconscious resistance
mm-hmm.
to doing the Course. You know, people at first, they don't understand the Course, but it's not that they're not intelligent. It's that there is a tremendous psychological unconscious resistance to doing this because this is death to the ego. And I think at some level, the ego senses that. Which is why the Course says that the ego's range of emotion will shift from suspiciousness to viciousness. Because, you know, the ego doesn't want to die because this is all that it knows. All it knows is separation, and that's what it believes in. And the problem with people is that they believe in it too, because they've invested their belief in separation, in the ego, in the world, and by investing their belief in it, it makes it real to them. And gradually what the Course does is it kind of helps us to take that belief back and put it where it belongs. And where it belongs is in God, which is why the Course says be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. Now, that's a pretty tall order. You know, that's not easy to do.
Mm.
I remember at the beginning of the Dispensary Universe, I made a decision. And I think this is what resulted in Art and Curse appearing to me. I said, I want to remove conflict from my life. You know, I was sick of it. And I actually wanted to remove conflict from my life. Now, I didn't know at the time what a tall order that was.
Yeah.
And how difficult it might be. And you can see over a period of 9 years in the book that I was gradually getting it and gradually applying it. But I really think it's a process. And there's nothing more annoying to a Course in Miracles student than to get to the end of the workbook and have it say, this course is a beginning, not an end. You know, because I thought, look, you know, I'm going to do the workbook and I'll be enlightened in a year and then I can do something else, you know, and go out and make money or whatever. And by the way, this is where Course in Miracles differs from the self-help movement, because in the Course, the idea of abundance is a little different. You know, with most people, the idea of abundance is that you get a bunch of stuff and you get a lot of money and you get the right relationships and the right job and the right house and all that, and you attract these things to you that are actually outside of you, and that's one approach. The approach of A Course in Miracles is different, because I've met billionaires, you know, since I moved out here to California, and it's astonishing that even though they have way more money than they could ever need or want, they are still coming from a place of scarcity. You know, they still feel that something's missing. And they're right, something is missing. So I tell them, you know, A Course in Miracles says that a sense of separation from God is the only lack you really need correct. And if you could correct that one real lack that's making you feel that something's missing, then you would never feel lack. You would always feel abundance. You know, so if you're undoing the idea of separation, it changes everything. And you hear the Holy Spirit better, and you start to feel like you're being taken care of, you know, like you're being provided for. And that emptiness starts to go away. And I know because that 15 years that I was on a spiritual path before I started A Course in Miracles, and I started the course about 24 years ago. And I just after doing the workbook of the course, I felt different. You know, I didn't feel the lack that I felt growing up, because, you know, I came from a family that didn't have any money. So the conversation around the dinner table was always, oh, we don't have enough. You know, we can't do this, we can't do that. Everything is so expensive. Food is so expensive. And my parents, God bless them, because they were like the most beautiful and loving and kind people that you would ever want to meet in your life. And they, you know, came from this place of scarcity, and so did I. So my conversation when I became an adult was, you know, I don't have enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. Everything is so expensive. And even up until the time I started doing the course, you know, if I had like $5 in my pocket, my thought pattern would be, oh, I only have $5. I can't do anything. I can't do this, I can't do that. But I noticed a subtle shift after I did the workbook of the course, because I started to suspect that I was innocent, which is what the course teaches. And, you know, the end of the workbook actually involves an actual approach to God. You know, that fear of God that is mostly unconscious. You know, like the last two obstacles to peace in the course are the fear of death and the fear of God. And they're closely related because you wouldn't have one without the other. You know, people don't realize it's really God that they're afraid of. It's not really death. And, you know, I started to suspect that, you know, I wasn't so separate from God. And I'm not saying I didn't have a long way to go, but just the ideas and the experiential change changed my thinking, changed my thought pattern. So then, after the workbook, if I had $5 in my pocket, my thoughts would be, wow, I have money. You know, not a lot, but hey, I have money. How much fun can I have with this? You know, probably not much, but I like candy bars, you know, so it's like, now that's a very subtle shift,
right,
to go from you don't have enough to be coming from a place of abundance where you would say, wow, I have money. And the funny part is, and by the way, this is not the purpose of the Course. This is what the Course would call an after effect, an echo, which you read in the Song of Prayer, the echoes of God's love. It's something that is given to you in the way that you think and in the form of ideas. And interestingly enough, after I started to think, wow, I have money, I did. And that abundance showed up for me in ways that I didn't expect, because part of the guidance of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit does not lead you to what is just best for you. You know, it's like everybody thinks that they know what's best for them.
Mm.
And the truth is they don't know what's best for them. But the Holy Spirit does know what's best for everybody, because the Holy Spirit can see everything. You know, the Holy Spirit can see everything that ever happened and will happen, and can see the big picture, can see the Holy Spirit's plan in its entirety. And the Course talks about an interlocking chain of forgiveness. You know, so my forgiveness is connected to your forgiveness, and your forgiveness is connected to everybody else's forgiveness, but we can't see it because we don't see everything. We only see this little tiny speck of time and space. And if we could see all of it, we'd see how it all fits together and how it's all guaranteed to result in the full awakening of everybody. And yeah, that doesn't happen all at once, because our experience of time is linear and the Holy Spirit can see everything. You know, it reminds me of this this movie I saw last year, Arrival. And the aliens in the movie, they didn't think linearly. They could see past, present, and future simultaneously, which is how it really happens, which is the same thing that Einstein said. And they can see it all. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is like. The Holy Spirit can see everything, except the Holy Spirit thinks in terms of oneness. And the Holy Spirit can see the whole picture. We only see part of it. But because of that, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us to what is best for everybody. Now, you know, the good news is that if it's best for everybody, it's also best for you. You know, so what you're guided to may not fit your pictures. It may not be what you expected. But then after a while, I realized, so what? My life has never gone the way that I expected. You know, so why worry about it? Why not kind of like let go and listen to this guidance? And you may be guided to something that you don't expect, but it'll be good. You know, it'll be good for you, and it'll be good for everybody, and it will lead you to some kind of abundance, maybe success. You know, it's not against the rules to be successful. There's a lot of confusion about that among spiritual students. You know, they'll think when A Course in Miracles says, I need do nothing, that it means that they shouldn't do anything. And that's not what it's saying. The important word there is that I need do nothing. Yeah, and then the next sentence says that to do anything involves the body. So it's really teaching the same thing in a thousand different ways, that you're not a body. And if you're not a body, you don't have to do anything. But it doesn't mean that you don't do anything. Even doing nothing is something. You know, so it's like the Holy Spirit will guide you to what to do. So you have a fundamental question in your life, like, you know, should I stay with this person? Should I stay with this career? Should I change careers? Should I move? You know, what people consider to be the big questions in your life. Well, the Holy Spirit will guide you through life. The Course teaches that the Holy Spirit can see your illusions. The difference is the Holy Spirit doesn't believe in them. So what the Course is gradually doing is undoing our belief in illusions – and putting that belief where it belongs, which is in this perfect spirit. And the best way to get there is to see it everywhere. So, for example, Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married 2,000 years ago. And, you know, this is talked about in my next book. And what made them different than other people was, yes, even though they loved each other and they had a normal relationship, at the end of the day, they knew who the other person really was. And they could overlook the body and think of that person as being this perfect spirit, totally innocent, and exactly the same as God. And by doing so, gradually, they shifted their identities from the experience of being bodies to the experience of being this perfect spirit, which can happen for anybody. You know, maybe as you go along, your body will start to feel lighter.
Mm.
You know, maybe you'll start to feel like the figure in a dream that it really is, instead of this thing you have to carry around. Maybe it will become more elastic. Maybe it will be more difficult to hurt it. You know, maybe you'll get in a little accident and you hurt yourself, but it doesn't hurt. And you'll think, well, that's strange, and that should hurt, but it doesn't. And at first, you'll go back and forth. You know, sometimes it'll hurt, sometimes it won't. And that's also true of psychological uncomfortableness. You know, somebody walks into the room who you can't stand, and then one day they walk into the room and they have no effect on you.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll think, wow, that's strange. I should be bothered by this person. I hate this person. And it turns out that you don't hate this person and that you're starting to think in terms of spiritual sight. And one of the things about this kind of forgiveness, the Course says, it denies the ability of anything not of God to affect you. And the Course says this is the proper use of denial. So you have two kinds of denial. You have the ego's denial, which denies the truth. Then you have the Holy Spirit's form of denial, which denies the ego's denial of the truth. So now you're switching to the right teacher, and the right teacher is saying that what you're seeing is not true. And what is true is just beyond the veil. You know, you have to learn to, you know, kind of like think outside the box. You know, so as you overlook the body, you realize that there's a truth, and that this truth is everywhere, and that the world is just a thin veil over the truth. You know, it's almost like a puff of smoke that you could blow away. And there is the truth everywhere. You know, it's kind of like Jesus said 2,000 years ago in the Gospel of Thomas. The disciples went up to Jesus, and we said, when will the kingdom come? He said, well, it will not come by watching for it. You know, it will not come by saying, oh, behold here or behold there. Rather, the kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth, and people do not see it. So it's not that it's not here. You know, it's everywhere. And people do not see it because it's out of their awareness. And what the Course does, it removes the blocks, which means removing the ego, undoing the ego to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. But we have to remember that A Course in Miracles is a very big teaching. You know, your natural inheritance is nothing less than the kingdom of heaven. You know, the kingdom of God. That's your natural inheritance. All of it, everything. And not only that, but you don't have to earn it. You know,
yeah.
It was given to you as a gift. God gave it to you as a gift. You don't have to earn a gift. You know, somebody gives you a birthday present. You know, you don't have to earn it. And God gave you this gift out of love. And heaven is the extension of love. You know, it's like the endless extension of love, which is why the Course uses the word extension when it applies to heaven. And it doesn't use that word when it talks about this world and illusions. And this whole idea of spiritual sight is that if you engage in it, it changes the way that you feel and think about yourself. That, in turn, puts spirit more and more in your mind. The Course teaches that mind is the activating agent of spirit. So you activate spirit in your mind by seeing it everywhere, by seeing it in others. That's the approach of A Course in Miracles. Most spiritual thought systems, they try to balance body, mind, and spirit. And that's not the approach of the Course. The approach of the Course is that you learn how to use the mind to choose between the body and spirit. And whichever one you choose, whichever one you believe in, is what you will come to believe is real. And that, in turn, will become your experience. So in the end, you can't really say that the Course is like other things. It is a different approach. It's not the only way to get home to God, and it doesn't claim to be. You know, this is not a religion. It's a self-study course. But it's a self-study course that is done with the right teacher. And the right teacher is the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, whichever you want to call it. I, you know, talked to Jesus in my mind, but I started doing that when I was a kid. And I didn't even know why. You know, I remember when I was a child, I would talk to Jesus in my mind, and I thought he was my friend, and that he would help me, and that he would counsel me. And, you know, I would go to church, you know, twice a year, because I'm not a religious person. I never really have been. But, you know, with the parents, I would go to church, you know, at Easter and Christmas, and maybe Thanksgiving. And, you know, I hear this message about Jesus and how he suffered and sacrificed and died for my sins. And the first thing I thought was, well, wait a minute. I didn't ask him to do that. Secondly, what major sins is he dying for? You know, I mean, I stole some candy once. Yes, sir. I don't think that warrants the death sentence. And, you know, I could never really get into the message of Christianity. You know, I'm not putting down Christians personally because, you know, a lot of them are the nicest, most beautiful people I've ever met. You know, Cindy's father, my wife Cindy, her father's a Mennonite. And, you know, they're kind of like the Quakers. And you couldn't meet a more wonderful and kind person. And there are a lot of Christians who do a lot of good in the world. And churches are a positive force in the world. And yes, there are central powers in the church who have engaged in a tremendous amount of war, and a lot of people have died in the name of religion. But most Christians aren't like that, and they shouldn't be compared to that. You know, it's like most Muslims are, you know, moderate people. They're not violent people. And, you know, they pray four times a day, and they're really into peace, and, you know, they're good people. And then just like any group of people, you've got the extremists who have nothing to do with the religion or what it was supposed to be all about. And they're just, you know, psychotic, and they're just pursuing their own interests. And for the most part, religions are positive forces. The thing about A Course in Miracles is that the kind of forgiveness that the Course teaches leads to love automatically. It's like if you undo the ego and get spirit more and more in your mind, well, that is love. So that's why the Course says, teach only love, for that is what you are. You know, it's actually teaching you that you are love, and then eventually you can just be love. And you don't have to get anything. I mean, it's like the Course says that Christ needs nothing and wants to join with others out of a mutual awareness of abundance. So it also says to have all, give all to all. So now you're saying that everybody is worthy of all of it. And that's how you get in touch with it for yourself. Now you don't need anything. You love. You can teach only love. You can have authentic relationships with people because you don't need to get anything from them. Yeah. And, you know, and maybe you will do things for each other, but you're doing it out of love. Now you're doing it with the right teacher. You know, so, you know, the Course is a unique approach, but if you do it, your experience will change, and the ego gradually gets undone. So this is a win-win situation, because you can be guided to abundance, and that's perfectly all right. You know, I tell people, look, read the Song of Prayer section in the Course, and it will explain that entirely. How, like, for example, when you pray, you know, the best way in your meditation is to join with God, but remember that you're joining with something that is all of it, not just part of it. And you kind of like visualize yourself becoming the same as God in spirit. And you kind of like imagine perfect oneness expanding forever, that it never stops. And you kind of like get lost in God's love.
Mm.
And in doing so, your mind is put more in a condition of spirit. And, of course, forgiveness is the great teaching aid of the Holy Spirit. But the Song of Prayer teaches that as you become more in a case of spirit, there's kind of like an after effect of that, which is, once again, not the purpose of it. But it talks about, you know, the echoes of God's love. Well, that actually comes to you in the form of ideas. And that's what that story 2,000 years ago from Jesus was supposed to symbolize. It wasn't just about fish and bread falling out of the sky.
Mm.
It was really about an endless supply of abundance. But that endless supply of abundance will come to you in the form of ideas that lead you to it.
Yeah.
And yes, once in a while, you know, it's going to look like it's coming from outside of you, but nothing is outside of you, according to the Course. So it will come to you through the Holy Spirit. And that may seem to contradict the idea that the Course says that the script is written. But there's, first of all, there's two scripts. There's the ego script, which is the world. And then there's the Holy Spirit script, which is a different way of looking at the world. And then the Course talks about different aspects of time. Talks about the fact that there are different dimensions of time. Talks about the Holy Spirit collapsing time. So there's a way to kind of like get through the script faster and to have things happen in different dimensions of time, which you may not be aware of because you're in all of them. And the Course's view of time is pretty esoteric, but it's also fun. It's interesting. One of my favorite workbook lessons is 169, By Grace I Live, By Grace I Am Released.
Mm.
And it talks about how the Holy Spirit looked back from the end of time with you, meaning your mind, and decided with you when it would be the best time for you to awaken to revelation in eternity. So the Course teaches that the Holy Spirit chose with you when you would wake up. And what I say to people at my workshops, and I would say the same thing to anybody who is listening to this call, if you're learning about things like this, if you're learning about things about forgiveness, for example, well, that's a pretty good piece of evidence that this is your time, because you wouldn't be doing that.
Right.
You know, because the ego is not interested in this. The ego wants to stay 100 miles away from forgiveness, because this is not good for the ego. And, you know, I tell people at my weekend workshops, you know, the fact that you're here is pretty strong evidence that this is your time to awaken, or else you wouldn't be here. You know, the ego can think of better things to do on a weekend. Yeah, so... You know, the ego doesn't want forgiveness. The ego wants a pizza. You know, so it's, you know, if anyone is listening to this call and learning about forgiveness, I would say to them, that's pretty strong evidence that this is your time to go through the awakening process, which is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's kind of like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You know, you have to go through a process. You have to go through a cocoon process, a metamorphosis. Because we are actually being prepared to graduate to a higher life form. Being spirit is not the same as being a body, but it's better. You know, it really is better to be spirit than to be a body, and it really is more fun to be a butterfly than it is to be a caterpillar. And the irony is that as you go through this change and as you go through this metamorphosis, you can still have your life. You know, A Course in Miracles does not call for sacrifice. In fact, it talks about the end of sacrifice. So we're not being asked to change anything. We're not being asked to give up anything. And you can actually end up enjoying your life more, because as you practice forgiveness, the Holy Spirit is removing this unconscious guilt from your mind, actually healing the mind. And if you have less guilt in your mind, then you actually end up enjoying things more. You know, it's like I enjoy listening to music more today than I ever did.
Mm.
You know, I've been a musician my whole life, and I enjoy music. I enjoy the movies just as much as I ever did. And you're not going to lose that enjoyment of things. You know, it's kind of like when I go into a movie theater, I know it's not real. But that doesn't stop me from enjoying it. And this life, which is also a movie that we're watching, is the same way. Just because you know it's not real, that's not going to stop you from enjoying it. It doesn't have to. And with less guilt in your mind, you will actually enjoy it more. So when I talk about a win-win situation, you know, you get to forgive, you get to have a better life, you get to feel better. And then on top of all that, you are slowly but surely awakening in God. You know, so you couldn't ask for too much more than that. And, you know, if you feel guided to do a certain thing, then it's probably what's best for everybody. It may not always look that way at first. You know, when I was guided to leave Maine 10 years ago and move to California, there was a lot of anger from other people about that. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit, are you sure that this is the right thing? And the answer was always yes. And now when I look back at it, my former wife, Karen, she's better off today than she was then.
Yeah.
You know, she lives in Hawaii. She loves it. You know, she has great friends, you know, a steady boyfriend. And it's like, you know, she loves it there. And I am better off today than I was 10 years ago. You know, so it really is what's best for everybody. It may not look that way at first, but it will pretty soon. And the Holy Spirit knows what's best, but we have to learn to listen. We have to be willing to listen. And if we do, we'll be guided to what's best for everybody. And if we see with spiritual sight, which is that important third step in forgiveness that not enough Course in Miracles students do, then they will experience it more and more for themselves. And the idea that they are spirit, and over time their identity will literally change in their mind.
Well, what a wonderful teaching you've given us, circling around and making it so plain and so clear for us, Gary. We don't have a lot of time left. I would like to ask you one question that kept coming through while you were speaking, and that is for people who are feeling a tremendous amount of resistance and reluctance, do you have something that can help them bust through that?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, don't resist your resistance, because it's totally normal. You know, I remember Ken Wapnick said something once, and he said, you know, a good Course in Miracles student is a bad Course in Miracles student who forgives himself. You know, and you got to realize, you know, everybody has that. You know, everybody thinks, oh, they're the only one that has that resistance. And it's totally normal because, as we've been saying, this is death to the ego. So the ego is going to resist this. And I really believe that if there's one quality that is important when it comes to doing A Course in Miracles, it's the quality of perseverance. You know, you have to stick with it. You have to want it badly. You know, the Course says about the words, I want the peace of God, that to say these words is nothing, but to mean these words is everything. Now, how do you know that you mean it? Well, you know that you mean it if you stick with it, if you keep practicing. You know, it's kind of like the process of becoming a good piano player. You know, you sit down at the piano, you go to play, and you're bad. And there's only one thing in the world that will ever make you a good piano player.
Yeah.
And that's if you sit there for a couple of hours every day and practice. And spirituality is no different. People don't think of it that way, but spirituality involves practice. You know, and that takes time. And it takes time for the resistance to go away. You know, it's like, you know, you're undoing the ego. So you peel away a layer of an onion. It still looks like an onion. You know, it doesn't look like you've done anything, but you actually have done something. And if you persevere and if you keep going, you'll keep peeling away layers of the onion, and it'll start to look smaller, which is what happens with the ego. And if you persevere, that will happen, and you'll notice that the resistance that you were feeling starts to dissipate, that it starts to slowly but gradually go away. But there's only one thing that's ever going to do that for you, and that's practicing and sticking with it. But if you do, you'll start to notice at some point that you don't have as much resistance as you used to. And that's the only way I know to get rid of that resistance, is to slowly but surely get rid of the ego.
Beautiful. That is a great piece of learning to share. You know, Gary, one of the things I really feel that I'd like to make sure people know about before we finish up here, for those who are new to A Course in Miracles, because we always have a bunch of new people, when people ask me, where do you start with A Course in Miracles? It feels so dense to me. I say to them, start with Disappearance of the Universe, Gary Renard's beautiful book. And it is such a great way into the Course. And then from there, I suggest the Teacher's Manual, Classification of Terms, and then following their own guidance. But Disappearance of the Universe, for anyone who hasn't read it yet, I just like to say personally, I encourage you strongly to read it. It's such an inspiring book. And for me, part of what was so inspiring in reading it was to think about you, Gary. And I've told you this before, because when you said something was 10 years, and I realized, oh, you know what? You and I met 10 years ago for the first time, and yeah. We've known each other 10 years now. And to think of you for those 9 years laboring over that, the density of that manuscript, and because I'm just, it's so impressive, and it's so clear throughout the book, your personal application of the teachings, your resistance, your reluctance, your falling down and getting back up again, your determination, your dedication, your willingness, your unwillingness, all of it is in there. And that's one of the things that makes Disappearance such a beautiful book and an inspiring book, is you're actually taking us with you on that journey of doing it and desiring to understand it, to live it, to know it, and to test it out, to question it. And there were many times when I really would feel discouraged, as we all do. I don't feel discouraged anymore, but I used to get discouraged all the time. And I would think of you writing that book, having those sessions with Art and Impersa, and not telling one other person about it. Just keeping it all to yourself. And processing all of that by yourself, and it just, you're my hero. You really are, Gary.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate that. And as far as those 10 years doing the book goes, well, I didn't have anything better to do. So it's like, you know, I mean, what else would be better for me to do? You know, so I feel very fortunate to just be involved in all of this. And I don't think of myself as being like even a teacher or an author, and I don't think of myself as having followers or students. I just think of the people who I meet at my workshop as being my friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how I think of you, and I am honored to have you as my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for saying all that about the book. I do know from experience that it's helpful to people. And, it came out, I guess, about 14 years ago originally. And it keeps going, you know, and people keep sharing it with people. And that's very gratifying to me, to know that it's been helpful to a lot of people, and they keep sharing it, not just in America, but all over the world. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to be a part of this. I remember once Cindy and I were with Judy Scotch, the original publisher of A Course in Miracles, And Cindy asked her, you've been doing the course for like 40 years. How do you live your life? And Judy didn't hesitate for a second. She immediately said, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. I feel just very grateful. Just be a part of this and be able to share mm-hmm. it with people. And I really appreciate the work that you do in sharing it with everybody. And it's great to be your friend. And thank you for everything.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I too am grateful. And I would also like to let people know, of course, you have other books since then, Your Immortal Reality, Love Has Forgotten No One, your upcoming one, The Lifetimes When Jesus and Buddha Knew Each Other, A History of Mighty Companions. And I did look it up on Amazon. You can pre-order the book that's coming out in November, and that's a great thing to do, to pre-order it. So I'm encouraging people to do that. And then I would like to say, I always like to tell people this too, Gary. You have wonderful audio books, and my personal favorite is The Secrets of the Immortal, Advanced Teachings from A Course in Miracles. And The Secrets of the Immortal, it's over 7 hours long, and it is such a treat. I've listened to it a bunch of times, and it's like being able to spend the day or an afternoon, a long afternoon with Gary. It's such an intimate, just you talking, just like you did with us here, where you're just talking and flowing and making us laugh. And it was just you in the studio. I remember you told me that you did it all in just one afternoon, but not in one. Did you do it in one take?
Yeah. The whole 7 or 8 hours, we started testing the sound, and I started speaking, and I could see the producer behind the window, and he was kind of saying, keep going, keep going. I just kept going, and I never stopped. When you listen to it, it sounds like there were breaks in it because they only put so much on one side of the
right.
CD. But it was all one take. I never stopped. And I really felt like the spirit was, flowing through me.
For sure.
And by the way, that's my favorite CD also.
Secrets
of the Immortal. I like the other ones too. You know, that's like asking, what's your favorite book, what's your favorite CD? It's like asking somebody what their favorite child is. But, I would say if I, was going to choose one, I think that would be probably the most helpful because it has the most information in it. And I know people like to listen to it when driving to work or driving home. And it makes them feel like they're not wasting their time when they're stuck in traffic and all that. And, I really enjoyed doing that. I did 3 CDs with Sounds True, and I like them all. And there's a very good video presentation that I did with Pathways of Light. And, these things can all be found online. But thank you so much for talking about the book and about the CD. And, it means a lot to me that I was just able to, contribute something to all of this. And, just to be a part of what the Course calls the Great Awakening. And we all are a part of that great awakening. And everyone's part is equally important. It's like at one point the Course asks you, can the world be saved without you? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no, because, how can everybody wake up if you don't?
Right.
So we all have an important part to play. And, it's like Jesus said 2,000 years ago, heaven is like a wedding. And everybody is invited. So, everyone's welcome to join in, and the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest.
Amen to that. Well, I'm going to pray us out here in just a moment. But before I do, I want to say another thing, which is you and Cindy have a music CD together, and you also have a meditation CD, short meditations for couples. And I always like to tell people about that because it's a really beautiful resource for people to be able to do those meditations with a significant other, or even just alone, and calling in their partner and imagining their partner with them. So, and those are those only available at your website?
I think they're available in other places like iTunes and yes, our website. I believe you can get them through Amazon. And Cindy is great at music, and she's also great at meditation. And, yeah, you don't have to be in a couple to do meditations for couples. Cindy jokes that, well, if you want to be in a couple and you're not, maybe doing those meditations will help you find the right person.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it's really the Holy Spirit that does that. But, you know, we'd like to take ourselves lightly and not take things too seriously. But, yeah, Cindy has done 3 music CDs on her own. Her new one is called Awakening to Love. And if you go to her website, CindyLaura.com, it's not Cindy Laura Renard because she started before we got married, but it's just CindyLaura.com. And you can see everything there. And, yeah, I think those things are available at other sources too, but probably the easiest place to get it would be at Cindy's website or at my website. I do have our 2 CDs that we did together on the homepage of my website. And by the way, we're building another website finally after all these years. And hopefully that will be ready in time for the new book. So we'll see.
Oh, great. Well, you have other resources, your podcast, your available counseling sessions and things like that at your website. So just letting people know to go and look around Gary's website and find some wonderful opportunities to connect more deeply with what he's sharing. And I personally have just found everything that Gary shares so valuable to me personally. So I encourage people to go. And let's say that prayer. So we take this breath of love and gratitude together, once again, consciously joining and attuning with the higher Holy Spirit self. So grateful, so thankful to lay on the altar everything that we don't need anymore, everything that seems to trouble us or worry us, everything that we think we want or need. We're laying it all on the altar, and we're opening ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are willing to follow the guidance. We are willing to hear, to recognize, to feel, to sense, to know the truth that sets us free. We are grateful and thankful to share the benefits of our healing, our awakening, our life of love with all beings because we're one with them. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Jennifer. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. Bless you, everybody. And remember, tomorrow I have my homework class, so I'll be with you then. Mwah.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.